Welcome to the coveted 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. slot. It's a great time of day. My name is Sonia Carlson. I'm a program manager on the Dev Center Analytics and Monetization team. And what we do at Dev Center is we want to empower every developer in this room and outside of this room with great data insights so that you can take targeted actions.
Hi, I'm Jaime Rodriguez. I'm in Windows Partner App Experiences team, and I work mostly with social entertainment and gaming publishers that come to Windows, and we help them succeed on our platform. So a lot of the tips you're going to hear about today are from experiments we've done with all these partners, and some of them are in the room, so feel free to thank them later. So thanks.
Okay, great. So most of us have seen customer funnels, you know, where we learn how we progress customers through the stages of discovery and awareness, all the way down through monetization. And it's natural that users drop off at every stage. But we know that we can engage in retention and re-engagement and cross-promotion activities to extract more values from those users. And we have developers, big and small, that have done this in the store, and they've been very successful at it, and they've made money from it. And so today, we're going to talk to you about some of those proven tips, and we're going to talk to you about some exciting new features that we have to enable those.
So if you're looking at, So just for context, we're going to go today through our agenda, and our agenda is going to follow pretty much the funnel. We're going to talk about discover, we're going to talk about acquire and engagement monetize. So we're going to just going to jump around down the funnel as we go, just for context, so that you're always placed on where you're, on where we're at. And so let's begin with discovering and acquiring your app. So, and before I go there, I want to kind of share our pledge from Microsoft to drive users into the store. We've been doing a lot of work to drive users into the Windows Store, and we have a pledge that we are committed to continuing to do this because we know that users come to our store, they browse, they search, they find your apps, and everybody ends up in a happy ecosystem, right? The users are happy because they're installing your apps, you're happy because you're making money and getting more users, and we're happy because the users are running on Windows, and they're also providing us that commission that we get whenever they buy your application. So everybody's happy, and this is a commitment that we have across the board, and I wanted to highlight a couple of the things we've done in the last year. So the first thing is all of our surfaces on Windows 10 are now driving traffic to the store. You'll see these on the Edge browser with our promotions. You see it with the Xbox app. They drive a lot of traffic into the stores. You see it on the lock screen. You see it in the Microsoft store, like at the actual commercial store where you walk into it. We're driving people into the store, and we've seen a lot of progress in the last year doing this. Another technique that we're using to drive users into the store is to bring more content type. Last year, we brought Xbox games, and that was a big success. This year, we're adding more content types. We're adding books. We're adding physical goods. And we're also adding the store for business. So we're driving more users coming in looking for different things. And again, once they're there, they start browsing, and then they start finding your app. So we're very happy with all of that ecosystem starting to feed itself. The last thing that we're doing is we're doing a lot of paid media and online campaigns, driving users into the store. Just for context, I was recently looking at some statistic that said a year ago, we used to have our kind of online campaigns were about 2 or 3 billion impressions driving people into the store. Over the last 12 months, that's actually tripled. So we're driving a lot more users into the store. If anybody here has applications, hopefully you're seeing a lot more traffic. You're seeing some more downloads. So we're really excited about that. And that, to us, is a critical part of the funnel. And we acknowledge that, and we're working on it. That said, there's also things you can do. So for those of you who don't want to leave it all to us, you can do user acquisition, and I wanted to highlight some of the options that you have there. So the first thing that I want to highlight is the Microsoft Universal App Install Ads. Those are pretty flexible. I started with those because they're the most flexible. You can go to the Microsoft App Install Ads and just say, hey, I want to acquire users and I want to pay for them. And that's just paid user acquisition, very straightforward. If you don't want to spend money, you can also use the exact same Dev Center, exact same functionality. You said, hey, I just want to do ad exchange. I'll serve some ads, and other developers will serve ads for me, and we'll just exchange ads, and I don't have to spend any money. So that's a really good system where you have flexibility there. AdDuplex is another ad exchange that's been on the platform for a while, and it's been proven very successful in driving users into the store to get downloads for your app. So again, that's one where you don't exchange money. You don't have to spend any money to do that. If you're willing to spend some money, then for game publishers, Bungle has been around in the platform for the last 2 years, and they do really well. They have very immersive video formats, and they have really good click-through rates and high conversions. So they're actually doing pretty well within our platform. It's somebody that we would highly recommend. And then the newcomer is Facebook Install Ads, which arrived in the platform around February. And they're kind of in a beta right now. They're already launched. You can go to their website and start buying ads, and they're serving the ads and everything else. But we're still optimizing the network and optimizing all the logistics behind it. So those are some of the options that we're looking at, and I wanted to highlight some of those and then give you some of the tips that I've learned from doing user acquisition. And the first thing I already mentioned, user acquisition does not have to be expensive or large scale. In some cases, you can decide, I want to acquire users for a specific target, a demographic, an A/B test, or something like that, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. Everybody that I talk to sometimes says, oh, I don't want to do UA because I don't want to spend money. You don't have to. I talked about two services that were ad exchanges, and those will work fine in driving users into your application. The second point I want to highlight is definitely be purposeful when you do acquisition. Especially we've seen areas where people come to with the Windows Store from iOS or Android, and they think that the exact same campaigns that they have on other platforms are going to work with our demographics. And that hasn't always worked out. So make sure you get familiar. In a minute, we're going to talk about some of the tools that Dev Center has for you to measure acquisition engagement. So make sure you get familiar with the tools and you get familiar with where you're at before you go and acquire users. Because we've seen a little bit of areas where our demographic, which we know being so broad, across so many countries and across so many ages, we've seen areas where just not being targeted on your ads can yield a different result than the one you would expect. And so we want to be highly optimized and want to make sure you're purposeful when you engage. And then the last one I'll talk, and I'm here actually going to punt and just point you to somewhere. Whenever I talk about user acquisition, the one question that everybody tells me is, how do all these ad networks compare to each other? Which one should I use? And that's really hard to answer because every app is a little bit different. Every campaign is a little bit different. That said, there's a really great blog post that somebody did on Medium about a month ago, and Ben Cox, and he's actually in the conference. And that's actually very representative of comparing all the networks. So go check out that post. And he did a really great job at comparing all the options and saying, hey, this is what we saw from Facebook. This is what we saw from InstallAds. This is what we're seeing from AdDuplex. So it's a really great way for you to get a sense of where you want to start and how you want to target your acquisition. Now, user not doing it, or in some cases, people don't want to do user acquisition. Again, they don't want to spend money, or you know, they're an Indian, they're just getting started. I want to make sure you know that not doing a formal user acquisition doesn't mean that you don't have to do a marketing campaign at all, right? Whenever you have an application launch, you need to let the world know. Whenever you have a major update in your application, make sure you let the world know. And for that, I've highlighted a couple areas that have worked for us really great with some experiments. For example, with communities, we've used App Racing or My App Free or even Reddit, and we go in there and we just announce that a product is being launched and people engage, and that's driven some traffic to our store. So if you have a Facebook page or if you want to go share on Twitter or you want to know an influencer that might be interested in the type of application you're writing, make sure you do all those things because driving awareness for your app is something that only you can do. You're the better one at telling people what your application does and why people should care about it. So make sure if you're not doing UA, you still figure out how much awareness you want to drive for your app. One of the tips that I have is you can get creative with promo codes. Recently in the Dev Center, we changed the promotion codes such that you can go in there and get a one code that has multiple uses. So now you can go into our Dev Center and say, hey, I would like to get a promo code for 100 users. And then you go on Twitter and you say, hey, I just launched this application, and anybody who wants to install it for free right now, here's a free promo code, and those 100 users can go in there and acquire. We've done this experiment a couple times, and every time we go in there and share a code to 100 users, we get a lot more installs than 100. So it's always paid up. The virality of that kind of marketing, that guerrilla marketing, has worked out for us. So it's something I recommend for indies who are just getting started and want to get their app rolling a little bit. If you're doing anything, any sort of marketing campaign, any sort of user acquisition, make sure you always have a custom campaign. It's super easy to add a custom campaign when you're sending somebody to the store. All that means is on the URL that you're sending the user into the store with, which is the URL to your application, you just append a parameter that says CID equals, and you give it the campaign name that you want us to track. And then in a minute, Sonia is going to show you how the Dev Center tracks that campaign and the performance for you. So make sure you're always creating a custom campaign. The blog post right there that I linked to has a step-by-step for tracking custom campaigns, creating a custom campaign and tracking a custom campaign. So that's a best practice that I highly recommend everybody does if you are creating any sort of traffic towards your app. And then for those of you who have been using campaigns already, I do have a small update on the change that we'd made into the Windows Store last September. So with campaigns, you have the Dev Center automatically tracks the campaign, and then there's also a client-side API that we call Campaign ID, where you can go in and retrieve the campaign that you were launched with. That's a really great technique because, for example, in the experiments that I mentioned earlier where we go and give somebody a promo code, we track those users for the first 7 days, and if they actually launch the application more than 3 times in the first 7 days, we think, hey, this user must be liking the app, they got it for free, and we know they came from this campaign, so why don't we prompt them to rate our app? And that way we get really good ratings because those users are happy. They haven't paid, they actually are getting a lot of value, and they're enjoying the app. So in some cases, you want to retrieve that campaign ID from your client app. And what we've done there is we've always had the API, but since last September, we made a change in the Windows Store where we introduced this ability for users who were not logged in to actually install applications. This is a great change for the Windows Store because it allows, it boosted our downloads significantly. Now, anybody who goes into the Windows Store, even if they were not logged into their MSA, they could actually install an application as long as the application was free. The problem with that, so that boosted engagement, and we love that feature. However, that actually ended up affecting Campaign ID in a manner such that because Campaign ID was attached to the user, now the old API to retrieve Campaign ID doesn't work the exact same way. You're actually getting the attributions only for half of your installs because you're only getting the installs from the users that were logged in. If you want to get the installs from the users that are not logged in, go read that blog post. We've updated the documentation that says, hey, when you get Campaign ID, get it over here for the user, and then if the user doesn't have one, go check over here in case the machine has one. It's just 5 extra lines of code, and you end up with the right campaign ID. Fortunately, for those of you who don't need campaign ID on the client side, the Dev Center already does this right, so you don't have to do any work. But anybody here that's creating custom campaigns, my advice is go read the blog post and make sure you're actually following that guidance there because that's the best way to track and do attribution. So. I'm going to stop it right there. How many thought that was cool? How many of you thought, like, whoa, I kind of want to check out that app? Isn't that a great first impression? That is our current PDP. That's functionality that's already live on our PDP today, your product description page. You can put trailers like that. Not everybody can produce one, but you can put that kind of functionality where you have this really great first impression. And that's something that we've seen is a proven best practice for everybody. Having a great PDP is one of those critical things where if you don't nail that, you're going to drop a lot of users very early in the funnel. We've done a lot of experiments that show people that have shown us how many people are dropping out early in the funnel when we don't have a good PDP. So let me show you what a good PDP that doesn't have such an immersive video looks like. So this is something very simple. It's just the mail app. And I apologize, I don't have a mouse here, but it's just the mail app. But let me highlight some of the things that I love about this app. The first thing is look at the description. It's super tight, about 3 sentences, nail down the value prop. It assumes that not everybody reads everything, because I've seen some descriptions that are like paragraphs, right? Like it's like looks like a legal agreement that you have to scroll and nobody ever reads, right? So make sure you keep it very tight. The description needs to just say, here's my value prop, here's why you want to download me right now, and assume that people only read the first 2 sentences. Next thing, look at the images. They're all at the right aspect ratio. They're all immersive. They're really optimized for this functionality to show the functionality that the application has. Notice that the description doesn't have anything of what's new. There's new release notes. There's no anything, right? We have a specific section for that right here at the bottom, right? Notice the features. It's just a small bullet list. Right? Keep your PDP very, very tight. We've actually done experiments with partners where, for example, we did an experiment with a partner who had a mobile app that moved to the desktop. It was a great game, very well-known brand, and the mistake that they made was they kept their screenshots from the mobile app, and so people were coming to the PDP, and looking at the page and not installing the app. And we were wondering, what's happening? This is a great game. It's a very known game and all these things. And literally, we went in there, replaced the images to have some that had the right aspect ratios and looked like and showed how well the game played on the desktop. And their conversion rate increased by like 17%. So having a tight PDP is one of those very basic things that you should all be doing with your page and making sure you're actually maximizing the users that are coming into the store and finding your app. So what I've done here is I've given you some of my best tips and tricks that I've seen from the team that actually helps our partners have really good PDPs. So here I have a checklist. You don't have to memorize it. You can check it out later. But those are my top 10. And if you go in and implement 3 or 4, I'm pretty comfortable to say that you're going to see a little bit of a conversion increase within your application. So those are my tips that I have for acquiring and kind of getting discovered and acquiring some users. So, and with that, we're going to kind of move down the funnel towards the engagement section. And before we go there, why don't we have Sonia show you what the Dev Center has for measuring analytics and for measuring engagement?
Right, because before you engage and set up engagement activities with your users, it's really important to understand your app behavior and to understand your user behavior. That way you can make really informed and targeted plans and understand where it makes the most sense to invest your dollars. So I'm going to jump in here into the Dev Center for a little demo. Now, spoiler, there's no cool cars in my demo. There's no bouncy music. But for those of you who are insiders, you'll see that we have a brand new streamlined design. And as part of that, you can see there's some navigational activities here that align to the stages of the funnel that we're talking about. So what that means is it becomes a lot easier to go in and get right to the activity that you want to do. So you can think about constructing your activities this way. All right, so once you're in here, I'm going to jump right into our Contoso demo app. And what we're going to do first is we're going to go ahead and look at the acquisitions around the Contoso demo app. So after you've done some of the activities that Jaime just mentioned, you can come in here and measure how effective those things have been. Do you see an upswing? Do you see a downswing? And so you can keep track of how your acquisitions are behaving. And you can see that we have new time filters across the top along with a custom date range. So for those of you that are familiar with Dev Center, this custom date range picker is new and it goes across our reports. So you can see daily acquisitions, cumulative acquisitions over the lifetime of the app. Essentially, there's installs. And a new report that we have is our acquisition funnel. So remember when we were talking about campaigns and conversions, this is a new report that we have for you to measure how effective those campaigns are. So what you see is the total number of users and conversion rates as the users step through the different stages in the funnel. You can do things like you can filter them by different demographics and age groups, and you can select the campaign ID that you've run. So this is a way to really kind of do your engagement activity, come back, and see the effectiveness of it. Okay, the next thing I'm going to show you in Dev Center to get a sense of your app behavior is our enhanced usage report. Now, today we do have a usage report, but we've done a kind of a big overhaul on this usage report. So you'll see that the report is now geared around active users and active devices, and we also have engagement duration. So it's really important to know how long and how often your users are engaged with your app. Additionally, we have retention chart that reports the metric in the industry standard DAO-MAU. So for those of you that did not like the total session count, we listened to your feedback, and now there's a set of enhanced metrics for you to use. You can also see these by geolocation, so just you can roll over and see where the total session counts are. Okay, so that's our usage. So that's what we have for you to evaluate your app data and evaluate your user data. So can we flip back to slides?
Yep, I'm in slides. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Clicker.
No. Yeah. So, sorry, the flipping thing, I got it. It's on slides.
Okay.
So that's some of the reporting. Now, before we get into how you engage with your users, let me tell you one of the lessons learned that we had with Windows last year. One of the really interesting lessons for us was, you know, lots of people go to the store and they actually acquire your app. They install it. They say, hey, I want to buy it. And Windows is a multitasking operating system. They have two screens. They're doing something else. They're probably doing real work or, you know, playing a game or something else. And so they install your app and they never launch it. This is what I call idle installs, right? And it's a problem that, you know, you need to solve because you need to make sure that users are always launching your app and that way you can engage with them. So on our side, on the Microsoft side, we've done already a lot of work to try to solve these. The two things that are, have been very impactful has been within the PDP, so when the user like buys your app, we automatically give them a button that says, hey, launch the app right now. And that in itself increased significantly how many of them were launching the app already. So that's that was a very nice thing to do, or a nice impact for us. And then the other thing that we've done is on the Action Center, we give them a notification whenever your app is installed that says, hey, you know, this application is now fully installed, feel free to launch it or actually pin it to the start menu so that you can launch it whenever you want. So those two things have been impactful. However, if you want to do more, I recommend that what you do is if you look at your data from the data that Sonia just showed you and you say, hey, I'm getting a lot of installs, but I'm not seeing those users launch my app. One of the things that you can do to wake them up is we introduced recently this Windows Update Task functionality. It's a background task that you can run whenever your application gets updated. So imagine a user installs your app today, they never launch it, but a month from now, you update your application, and when this background task runs, it only runs once whenever your application gets updated, but now you can give them a local push notification that says, hey, my application just got updated, or we just added this feature, or just invite them to come back into the app. So it's one way that we've seen engagement increase for those idle users or for those idle installs that we have. Again, you might not have this problem already because we've done the launch button, we've given them notification already, so we've improved a lot over the last few months. But if you have that problem, that's a technique that you can actually use to drive engagement. It's one that we that has paid out for us. Another one that we use to drive engagement a lot is Live Tiles. And about once a quarter, I have a major partner that comes to us and says, do Live Tiles work? Should I do it, right? Has anybody been in that situation? Right, you've been there. So here's some data that I'll share because I have this conversation often enough. So I thought today we'd talk about a couple instances where we've done experiments with this. The one that you should follow is the yellow one because that's a standard application. And this was really interesting. Around March of last year, this application was doing pretty good. There, as a percentage of their users, their retention was pretty high, and they were getting high DAUs, or the users were coming back quite a bit. And then out of the sudden, they had a bad update, and kind of around March, they dropped quite a bit. So what we said, hey, we need to re-engage them. And we released the fix, of course. And then after the fix, we waited a little bit, and we started asking the users to pin the application, and we actually started making sure that we added a live tile a few weeks after that. And what we saw that was that once we added an active live tile that was actually engaging to the user, they saw a pretty significant, like a 4% increase on their DAUs that came back that month. And we've done this experiment multiple times. The two in the bottom right here are with other applications. These applications were pre-installed, so they were already pinned into the box. And the numbers are a little bit lower, but they're also significant numbers because these are applications that everybody gets on their Windows box, so the impact there was significant. So we've seen live tiles work, and that's why I'm going to tell you today that you should use them. And there's a lot of techniques that you can use your live tiles. For example, a very simple one is just have some seasonality with your application. There's Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, whatever, summer, right? There's always a holiday somewhere. So if you want to just update your tile every now and then to kind of like go with the theme of whatever the holiday is coming up, that's enough to drive engagement. We've seen that. For example, one of the 1.4s here, that's actually just a tile that that we launched right for, you know, for a specific holiday. And we were like, hey, this would actually work. And we measure it, and 1% is a good number for driving more engagement. So there's a lot of techniques. Get creative with your live tile and drive users into the store. One of the things that we've done with the current release, the Creators Update release, is we've seen this work enough that we've actually added an API into the SDK to make sure that you can interact with your main tile. In the past, you could always pin a secondary tile, but in Creators Update, we've added the API right here, Start Screen Manager, such that you can check, you know, am I pinned? And if I'm not pinned, should I prompt the user to get pinned? So you have APIs to now interact with that left tile and drive engagement. So definitely a best practice that, that you should consider. Another thing that you can consider is the tile updates. I don't know how many of you are familiar with tile updates, but you can have a live tile, and that usually requires that the user have launched your application once, and then the live tile kicks in. Or when you ship your application, you can just go into your manifest and say, hey, I want to have a tile update. And what that does is, if the user pins you to the start menu, even before they've ever launched, your tile is already updating, because all we do is we pull your website that you tell us to get the tile from, and we download it for you. So this is a great way to solve that idle install problem that I talked about, right? We're already telling the user to pin you to the start menu, and if they do that, you can start serving them activity, and then they start in, you know, being invited to your application and launch there a little bit more often. So that's actually worked really great for us, again, as a technique that we've used to engage those installs. The one thing that we learned is, for those of you who have already shipped your application, going into your application and changing the manifest to say, oh, I now want to use a live tile update, doesn't turn it on. So what you do there is you use that exact same Windows update task that I talked about earlier, and you add a little bit of functionality such that when your update that turns live tile on runs, you actually, in the task, you from code say, hey, I want to go in there and subscribe to a live tile update, and then from there on, the user gets it. It's 5 lines of code, it's super straightforward, and it works really well. We've had good results from it. The last surface that we've had where we've seen a lot of engagement is on the taskbar. If you have the kind of application that gets launched often, like a mail application, RSS reader, whatever, music player, video player, something that gets launched often enough, you might want to consider telling the user, hey, do you want to pin us to the taskbar? Right now, we don't have an API to pin to the taskbar, but you can just give them a visual that says, hey, pin us to the taskbar, here's how you do it. And we've done some experiments to show if you give them a good visual, they pin you to the taskbar, and then engagement increases quite a bit. From our data, we see that once they pin you to the taskbar, they launch you from the taskbar way more often than they did before and way more often than from any other surface. So this is a best practice that we want people to follow if it applies to your application. If it doesn't apply, if you have something that's more casual, you don't want to bother the user with that. But if you do it, it actually works really well. And one of the things that we've added is since two SDKs ago, we added an API so that if you're pinned to the taskbar, you can actually use jump list. If everybody here is familiar with jump list, it's like once you're pinned to the taskbar, you can get quick actions from within the taskbar. Go check out, for example, the Facebook app. If you install the Facebook app, you can share a photo, you can do certain things with just like clicking from within the taskbar. It's a good way to effectively get into your app and take care of an action. And it's a good practice that we've seen drives engagement. And then the last one that I've seen is since you're in the taskbar, you see a lot of people interact with the desktop. If your application is the kind of app that needs to handle a protocol, for example, if you're mail or, again, an RSS reader or something like that, make sure you implement protocol handlers, because we see a lot of activity that goes back and forth with engagement, driving engagement from people that are just using protocol handlers if you're a video editor or image editor or anything like that. So that's one of the things that's worked out for us. And with that, I think we kind of like I've shown you that, hey, here's how you get your users awake. Here's how you get them into your app. So let's talk about how you segment and deal with those users right here.
Yeah, so the tips that Jaime just talked about, those are great if you want to work across your entire user base. But sometimes you really want to just target a specific segment of your users. And those are users that have very specific behaviors. And so you want to be able to target your engagement activities to them. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how you can do that within DevCenter. Okay, so we come over here to our Engage navigation, and we choose our customer groups. And I'm going to go ahead and create a new group. Now I have two choices here. I can create a known user group, and this is typically used for package flighting. So for example, if you have two different versions that you want to flight out to do different groups and then do some comparisons there, I'm not going to demo that. There's an entire session that goes over the details of how to do that, and we'll list that session at the end. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and choose segment. I'm going to choose the app that I want to segment my users from, so my Contoso demo. And now here, I have the opportunity to pick a bunch of different inclusion conditions. So all users that meet the criteria of my inclusion conditions, I want to include them in the group that I want to target. So this has been available for several months now. But we do have new attributes that I want to call out that you might not be aware of. So one of the ones I want to call out is we have the ability to segment by acquisition market. So all of our users who are in a particular market, you can go ahead and select that market, create that group of users, and then perhaps give them a special sale that's only available in that particular region. So segmentation by market is new. Another attribute I wanted to call out is rating. So you can choose users who have or have not rated your app. So this is great if you want to reach out and engage with those users, ask them to rate, and do other things with that. Fourth one I want to call out is, this is kind of an interesting one, store purchases. These are users who are ready to make store purchases. So to me, that sounds like a great opportunity for people who are ready to buy. So you have users in your app that you can segment by this particular quality. Now, coming soon, I showed you that usage report with the usage metrics. Coming soon, you'll be able to segment by those usage metrics. So you'll be able to target users who are either highly engaged and get them, encourage them to buy more, or users who have disengaged and give them a different kind of offer to encourage them to engage more. We also have another attribute coming soon for predicted churners. So users of your app that are predicted to stop using, you can create a segment of those predicted churners and then do specific targeted actions for them to prevent them from stopping using your app or making purchases. So as you go through and do your inclusion criteria, I have to actually select one here, sorry. We'll go back to market. And how about Australia? So as you select your inclusion criteria, you can go down here and you can see some statistics about the users that you're including in this group. So you get some demographic information, some purchase information about them, some account status, and you can see proportion of users that meet the criteria that you're looking for. So with this kind of information, you can make better decisions about sales you might want to run or other engagement activities that you might want to do for that user segment group. All right, so now that I have some groups of users with specific behaviors, what kinds of things can I do with them? Well, I can do some kind of awesome things that I'm going to talk about. So some of you, who in here are insiders? Is anyone in here in the insiders group? Okay, so what you may have seen in our new design here is something in here called targeted offers. Can we switch to slides, please? And one click. Thank you. Okay. So, targeted offers. What is that? So within DevCenter and using REST API, super easy, no SDK required, you can construct custom offers, custom content for your groups of users. So for example, you might want to give them a personalized in-app experience. You might want to create a special avatar that's only given to these particular users. Or you can combine those things with a sale. Okay. So let's take an example. So in this example, we have our user John, and his profile is up there in the corner. And so John belongs to a group of first-time payers, so those that are ready to make store purchases. So what we want to do is we want to encourage John to engage. We want to encourage him to buy. So with a targeted offer and using the REST API, I can construct some special content that's going to be super appealing to John. In his case, he's never purchased anything, so maybe I want to give him some free coins or, you know, some new clothing for his avatar, something that's special for John that's going to get him to click on that. Because once he clicks and once he's engaged, that means you can build on that. And then you can start offering other kinds of sales that will encourage John to buy. So that's what you can do with targeted offers. Another thing I can do with as a targeted offer is I can create a targeted sale for these groups of users. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of how you configure that sale. There's another session listed at the end. It's happening, I think, tomorrow at noon. You can watch and see how to put those sales together. But that's another thing that you can do with targeted offers. So in addition, as part of opening up targeted offers, we have a new program that we're offering where in certain cases and for certain user groups, Microsoft will be subsidizing some of these targeted offers. So for example, and you know, I'm making up numbers out of my head, but for example, if you run a sale from $5 to $2, Microsoft will subsidize part of that discount, okay? So this program right now, it's invite only, and some of you might have already seen that invite in your notifications or in your email, excuse me. So it's invite only, and for those of you in the room who want to participate in this program, come up afterwards and give us your contact info, and we'll give you more information about how you can perhaps participate in that program. So those are all good things that we can do for in-app experiences. But what happens if the user is disengaged and they're not within your app? So one thing you can do is you can re-engage them using a push notification. And this is also something that you can set up and configure within the Dev Center under the Engage section of the left navigation bar. Okay. So on the analytics and monetization team, we build these features, and we think they're useful. I hope they're useful. But Jaime actually uses these features himself and works with partners with these features. So Jaime, why don't you tell us how, if these things are useful, what are the results?
I think they're useful, don't worry.
Yeah.
In case there was any suspense. I'm gonna talk to you about a couple of experiments that we've done using these custom segments. So the first one that I'm talking about here is a first-time payer, which just to make sure you understood what Sonia was talking about, one of the segments that we have is what we call first-time payer. And what that means is it's a user who's in Windows Store, who's actually running Windows, installing apps, and doing activity, but they have never paid anything into the store, right? We don't have their payment instrument in our files, so we think they have never paid anything into the store. And this is the program that Sonia was talking about. So obviously, Microsoft is very keen on getting those people paying because they want to start paying money. We all know that when a person buys something in one app, they continue to buy more and more as we go. So we ran an experiment last December where we took an application. It was a casual game, and it was a very popular casual game. And we said, hey, let's run a discount of $1.49. So we took an IAP, and we discounted it by $1.49, a significant discount for that offer. And we ran this for 30 days, and we measured how many of these users converted. So out of the users who were presented the offer, remember, these were users who had never bought anything in the store, 3% converted, which is actually a pretty good number for any campaign. So the fact that 3% converted tells me that we kind of nailed down the discount that we needed, and we did a good job at presenting the offer. Now, that data was interesting, but the more interesting data point that you should extract from this is the last bullet. So 3% of the users converted, and then we measure how many purchases they made further on at 30, 60, and 90 days. So 50% of them bought something within 30 days, and they no longer were eligible to the discount. So this was a great deal for the partner that did this experiment because, number one, Microsoft subsidized the offers. So even though they went a $1.49 discount, the program that Sonia just talked about subsidizes a little bit of that, so you're still making money. And number two, the users now started paying within the game, and they're also paying within the stores. So everybody's happy. That's why we created the program now, thinking, hey, this is a good way to boost our ecosystem throughout. So that's one of the experiments, and it's against the first-time payer segment that Sonia just showed you. So that's an example of using segments coupled with a good discount or a good sale and making some impact. The second one, I picked one that she also mentioned, which is we ran a different experiment. We had a different game, and we said, hey, we want to figure out how good the store SDK and the segmentation works if we just send a push notification to specific segments from within the store. And here we did a large discount. It was a $4.99 discount. So literally we were taking something that was $10 and we made it $5. And we send, you know, different segments a notification that says, hey, right now this add-on is 50% off. And then we measure how many of them actually launch, you know, the game from within the notification that they got. And the conversion rate there was 4%, which was very high. We send them a notification twice, by the way. So this was a lesson learned from us. If you ever use push notifications, here's a couple lessons you should know. The first one is don't send them a notification within the first 72 hours, because sometimes the notifications take a little while to trickle through, because if the user hasn't launched their app or they haven't seen it, it might take a little bit, like the next day is when they see it, depending on time zones and other areas. And then what we did in this case, we send the notification once to everybody, and then we measure the people that did get the notification and launch from there, and we took them out of the segment that we were targeting, and then we sent, you know, 4 days later a second notification. We did this for a whole week with that discount, and then what we saw at the end of the week was good. 4% of them launched the notification, so that was a pretty good out of their daily active users. 4% launching was good. And then we also saw an increase in transactions for that week. The reason for that was because we did make the sale available to everybody. So users that didn't get the, or didn't click on the notification were still eligible for the add-on discount. So that number might be a little bit higher than just the people that would have come from that notification. But we saw the results were good, and we saw the targeting, using the segments to target with push notification was a very effective way to drive some engagement and drive some revenue. So with that, let me move into the next part of the engagement section. And this one, you gotta humor me a little bit, but imagine you're in front of the PDP, which is the product description page that I showed you earlier, and you're looking at a product that costs $2.99. So the question from me is, if that product was rated 5 stars, would you buy it? Right? I'm looking at all your faces and I'm thinking yes. Right? And data, like statistical data, tells us that's right. If it was 4 stars, how many of you would buy it? Maybe 85% of you in the room would buy it, right? Now, what happens when it goes to 3 stars? Now we drop significantly. We go from an 85% of you would buy it to maybe 50% of you would buy it. And if it was $2.99 and, you know, you only had 2 stars in your rating, I can tell you that, you know, more than about half of the people would just not buy you unless they knew you already, they knew your brand or your product already. And this one tells me how important it is to have a really high quality app and to have really good ratings from within the store. Ratings is actually a component that we use for your ranking algorithm with relevance within the store. So if somebody comes to the store and they want to see the top apps, ratings is a significant component of that. We look at a lot of other things, revenue, downloads, all sorts of things, but ratings is a component there. And that's why as I'm talking to engagement, I want to make sure we talk about the quality of your app and the health of your app. And with that, why don't we have Sonia show you what the Dev Center has with regards to health reports.
Okay, great. So here we are in our health report, and as Jaime mentioned, we know that app quality is super important to come in here and monitor how your app is behaving, where it's crashing, how it's failing. So we have some tools here that will hopefully help you do that. So as you come into the health report, you'll see here that you get a summary of the different types of crashes, hangs, and memory failures, if you have them, listed out here. You get a breakdown by your different package version of where these failure hits are coming from. Get a geoloc view of where the failures are occurring. So you can just kind of roll over and see. And then down here, you get into the failure details. So there's a couple of interesting things here that I'm going to go over. So one thing is for each failure type, you can see the contribution that that failure type is making to your overall failures. So why is that important? Well, I can look at the one that's contributing the most, and that's probably a fix that I want to prioritize. It's going to have the largest impact across all of my users. So the other thing I can do is I can drill down into that particular failure detail. And when I do that, I get access to the stack trace. Down right here, and so I can click on that and get into the stack trace itself. Now, we also have a program going on right now where we have some pilot users that are able to actually download the crash dump. So here with this link, the failure download, they get access to the crash dump. And those crash dumps are from users that are running Windows Insider OS versions. Okay, and so this is available to pilot users today. And later on in the summer, we're going to make that available to all developers. So that's a really useful tool. So what you can do, you know, come in here, and we generally find that if you fix, you know, the top 3 to 5 issues for your failures, it's going to probably solve about 70 to 80% of the problems for your users. So it's really good to come in here and, you know, just make it a regular habit to come and do that. So in addition to that, we have our reviews. As Jaime mentioned, reviews and ratings are super important for your app acquisition. So as you're fixing your failures, wouldn't it be great to let your users know that you fixed this bug that's been plaguing everybody? Okay, so what you can do is you can come in here every single day and you can respond to your reviews. You can make those responses public or you can make them private. And if they're public, now everybody knows, gee, you know, I fixed this thing, my app quality's up, and you're gonna drive more people to be more interested and engaged and say, oh, okay, this app is gonna work for me. Additionally, what is new is there is a response to reviews API. So if you have a ton of reviews, you can go ahead and use that API and respond to these reviews in bulk. So you can let everybody know in bulk that, hey, this we've done this fix. Similarly, you can also do the same with feedback that comes in from your developer feedback. So those are some of the tools that we have that you can come in here and contribute and address issues that you're having with your app quality.
So we just talked about it a little bit, so I'll recap a couple of the points. If you want to have happy users and great ratings, make sure you're reviewing your crashes often. What you saw there with regards to the stack trace and crash dumps is a huge improvement. You can go in there, just see where you're crashing, get the dumps automatically. It's much easier to fix than we've ever had made it before. So make sure you're looking at your crashes often and you're fixing them often. We have in my programs with managed partners, we have what we call the 5x3, which is we fix the top 5 crashes every 3 months. And as Sonia mentions, we've seen that that takes care of 80% of the crashes or the most popular crashes for any release. And you do these once or twice, and after that, your quality is high enough that you just cruise through and you never had a lot of fixes to do at any release. So it's a good practice for you to have. Once you fix your crashes, you do still need to encourage your users to rate your app. So you at some point will have to prompt them to rate your app. Why am I telling you to do that? It's very simple. We look at users and when they go to the store, and they usually go to the store, or we have more users go to the store a little frustrated to give a bad rating than users that just go into the store delighted to give a good rating. So if you want to balance that force, measure your engagement, see how happy your users are, and then encourage them to rate your app. That said, do it a smart way. Don't just prompt the first time the user lands your app, prompt them to rate your app. That's going to lead to a bad rating. We have the data that shows that, right? Make sure you look at how they're interacting with your app, whether you think they're happy, and then that's when you prompt them and you send them to the store and have them do a good rating if you think you deserve it. And, you know, they'll speak their mind, so you don't have to just prompt them then to give you a rating. Doesn't mean they're going to give you a 5-star rating. So it's a fair exchange if you do that, and it's a practice that would help you with the ranking and with regards to how you place within the store. As Sonia mentioned, you have to engage in feedback and reviews. That's been a popular feature that for developers and for users. Another area that I look at quality where we've seen good areas where we can make an impact to our quality and our ratings has been application updates. And the first one Sonia already mentioned, we have Flighting, which is the way we do betas within the Windows Store. There's a tomorrow sessions with Bernardo. He'll show you how to create flies. He'll show you everything you need to learn about Flighting. So make sure you attend that session because we're not going to demo that here. But that is a good practice that we highly recommend for everybody to consider. That's just the running a beta. It's just smart to test your software before you release it. Now, we also added last year a feature called gradual rollouts. And it was really interesting when they rolled this out for me and from the Dev Center because I thought, well, I'm already running betas. Why do I want to do a gradual rollout? So let me give you a couple of scenarios that I've been exposed to in the last few years where we run betas and we missed out. Beta sometimes meets something that's localization specific. You can run a large beta with 1,000 users, and you might still not have a single user launch that application that week with maybe a Japanese character or some sort of Eastern language. So you know, in some cases, just having a gradual rollout can prevent from you releasing an update that ends up crashing thousands of people. right? If you release an update in Japan with that's crashing in thousands of people, your ratings are going to drop significantly, and then you're going to have an uphill battle to bring them back up. So gradual rollouts have helped with that. Had helped us with that in the past. Another scenario where we run into is whenever you depend on a service. Sometimes you roll out an update, and then that service depends on push notifications or on Facebook or something else. And if that service happens to go down and you roll out a major update all at once, then a lot of users will suffer. So do a gradual rollout or consider doing a gradual rollout, and that might help you to prevent that kind of activity where you generate a firestorm for you. And then the final that I'll highlight, and this one is not a problem for most people, so I'm not saying this is a best practice that everybody should do, is just having a strategy for mandatory updates. Within the store, we do have the ability, we have an API that you can query whether there's an update to your application and whether it's a mandatory update or not. And then if you have one, you can prompt the user and say, hey, you have not updated your app recently. Do you want to download the most recent update? Because we know you're going to have an issue. Good example is, for example, like every 2 years, Facebook deprecates some of their SDKs. So if they deprecate an SDK and you have lots of users using the older SDK and their progress within the game is tied to a Facebook app or something like to a Facebook login, then them not being able to log in is going to be a big problem. And most of our users, like way majority, like high 90% of our users, do automatic updates. But automatic updates do require that application or that their machine be on Wi-Fi, that have power and certain things. So not everybody gets the update as fast as you think they do. So just make sure you follow this as a good practice. And with that, we come down to the bottom of our funnel where we monetize. So there we have a few tips for today. The first one is if you're download to own, sales and trials is the best practice that I see throughout. Sales is really important because when you go in there and if you cut your price in half, sometimes our own store algorithms and our store team notices, and then they put you in the deals category, and that can boost your downloads quite a bit if you run a good sale. So make sure you consider running a sale like that. And trials still a good practice for people who do download to own. We don't see trials like affect conversion rates. A lot of people ask, hey, do trials lower my conversion rate? Do I sell less? And the answer is no, we haven't seen that. So it's a good practice for people to let people try it out and decide if they want to buy it for you. In a purchase or free-to-play games and apps, mainly what we'd use for technician engagement is sales. And tomorrow in Bernardo's session, you're going to see a lot about how to create sales. You're going to see more of these custom segments that Sonia showed. So definitely attend that program. And the last one that I highlight as current ways to make money is if you're sending traffic to the store, we do have an affiliate program, and it's very easy for people to sign up into the program. And pretty much all you have to do is you go sign up, you agree to join the program, and then from there, whenever you send traffic to the store, you append your affiliate or your affiliate IDs, and then you start getting paid 7% for any sale that happens on any users you send to a store. So it's a good way for you to gain some extra money without doing anything else. So make sure if you're not signed up to the affiliate program and you're driving traffic to the store, that you look into that. And then the last one that we have that, you know, it's a current monetization strategy is ads. And I'm going to dedicate a whole slide to ads because we've gone through a major overhaul of our ads SDK. So I want to highlight this. And by the way, there's a couple ad persons in the audience. So if you have questions afterwards, feel free to come up and we'll talk about it, or they'll talk to you about it. So what we've done in our ad platform is we've actually shifted from just serving the Microsoft ads and the Bing ads and the things that you're familiar with to becoming a mediation platform. So now we have all of these partners available to you, and all we do is mediate, server-side mediate, that the ad would come from one of these partners. This is obviously great for you because you have one SDK, and you're getting ads from all of these partners. Right? You have one SDK and you get in all of these formats. They have now banner, interstitial video, interstitial banners, and they have native ads. So you pretty much every format out there, you're now getting from any of these partners and you don't have to do any extra work. You're incorporating one SDK, you have one dev center where you log in. They even have attribution if you want attribution partners that are already onboarded into their SDK, so that works really well for you. So you have a lot less work to do, and the ads are significantly higher fill rate than we've seen in the past. So for those of you, if you tried ads in the past, yes, I've heard from other people who told me, hey, fill rates were not the greatest. We've significantly improved. If I look at the last 9 months, I think I saw a statistic that said their revenue has increased about 300%. And if you don't want to take my word for it, no problem. Tomorrow at 10:50, Random Salad Games is talking about how they monetize through ads, and you can go talk to them. I think their session is called How to Become a Millionaire. running only games from the Windows Store. And ads is like literally their main monetization mechanism. So definitely go there and talk to them. And again, we have a few people from the Ads SDK team here if you want to talk about to them about it. There's also a couple pre-recorded sessions that I'll highlight right here with regards to some of the things that they've changed, and you can go in there and learn about you know, the things that they changed and how you can take advantage of it. And that also leads me to the new ways where you can make money, starting with our Creators Update. And for that, we're introducing subscription. And as you heard it throughout the keynote and through this session, we are actually introducing the business stores. So go to tomorrow to Bernardo's and Jonathan's session, and you'll get a lot of details on subscription and business stores. So you can see how to get onboarded and what you have to do to your apps to in order for you to get monetized those ways. As Sonia mentioned, we also have the targeted offers program, so you can go watch Yamil's pre-recorded session and see if you want to qualify for that. And then we also introduce into the Creators Update a new web payment API for those of you who sell physical goods. So for example, if you have an eBay-like app or you're selling something that's a physical good, people can actually use the web payment API and just pay using their MSA, and you get paid, and they have a seamless way to check out, and that works really well, and there's a pre-recorded session for that. So those are some new ways that we're introducing for you to make money within our store. And with that, we've given you a whole lot of tips. There's too many. You can see this animation is going to take a couple of seconds. So I'll tell you the one thing that I think applies to everybody. First of all, pick one or two. Go try them out. See how it works for you. The second thing, when people ask me, hey, summarize it in one tip, it's very simple. All the publishers that we work with that have successful app are just paying, you know, tender loving care to their application. They're keeping up with updates. They're keeping up with crashes. They're just paying attention, having a great PDP. So there's no secret bullet. There's no silver bullet to how you become a millionaire. You just got to do a little bit of the work, and these little things will add up to an exponential impact that then is going to start making you money. And with that, I'll let Sonia tell you the next steps.
So next steps, we have 3 minutes left. I'll run through them quickly. Join the DevCenter Insider Program. I saw a few hands go up, but if you do that, you get access to the first releases of these brand new features, and you get access to different kinds of programs. And the other thing you get that you might not know about is the ability to directly give feedback and feature suggestions and bugs to the dev teams. So those come directly to our teams, and we triage those, and we listen, and we prioritize that work. So join that program. We also have a booth in the Store Hub, so you can visit us there if you want to talk to folks in a little more detail about anything. We have the other build sessions, and we also have a blog coming out on Monday that's going to summarize many of these things that we talked about. And of course, there's the other related sessions that we do encourage you to see.
Okay, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for your time. Please complete your evaluations.